Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Pastor Linda. I'm back. I just realized that when I set up my show, I only put it for 15 minutes, and so at 30 minutes, it cut me off. But I am back to finish, and hopefully we'll get this done. So this will be another two-part, like last week's lesson. But let's see, where was it? So we were talking about, I don't believe that you should be critical in what you find to do, but you need to gravitate. And I had made the example of when I started as I was a singles director at my church, Victory and Praise, here in Stockton, California. And then the bishop switched the title from singles director to singles pastor. And what that did, that shifted kind of the responsibilities that God laid on me, not so much the responsibilities that the bishop put on me, but what God wanted me to do was to then pastor and lead the people. And then as I started doing that, then there was a natural gravitation because throughout my ministry, and I've been in ministry since I was 14, but throughout my ministry, I was always coming in contact with people that were hurting, and more specifically hurting from horrendous and devastating actions that have been done to them. They have been victimized, and most of it had to deal with abuse. And so that's how whole ministries came out, Women Healed of Life's Experiences. And then from there it stemmed from, it went to, there was the same type of abuse happening inside of the church, and it was a little bit different and needed to be dealt with a little bit differently. And so then Living Above Hurt became a part of that. And all of it was leading me and training me to be the pastor that I wanted to be. Now, I knew since the age of 6 that I was called to be a pastor. However, I was running from that calling because I didn't want that responsibility. And so, and when I say I was called, it was, you know, God spoke to me, God spoke to my mother, God spoke to my pastor. Even at the age of 10 or 11, I was being groomed for pastoring. I was being groomed for ministry. And so at 14, when God made it very clear that he had called me to pastor, you know, I just didn't really want that responsibility. I saw the pain. I saw the hurt. You know, it wasn't a glamorous thing for me. I didn't shout when I was called to be a pastor. I ran from it. And so many years later, becoming a singles pastor, and then God showing me that I was pastoring all these people without having a church building, I was pastoring all these people. So the training that I had received when I was 10 or 11, all the way up to 25, that I was under Sister Marilyn, or Reverend Marilyn, Pastor Marilyn Gazowski, who was then grooming me to be a pastor myself, all of that kind of kicked in, you know, without me even trying to make it kick in. It just immediately kicked in. And so when I got to the point in 2008 where God said, do it or die, because I'm tired of messing with you, you know, time is running short, I need you to get in your proper place, I then knew that I couldn't run any longer. And so I went to my bishop and I told him that God had called me to be a pastor. And even though men kind of kick against that, and I didn't really want to bring that into play because some people don't believe in women pastors, that you can be an evangelist, you can be a missionary, you can be a prophetess, you can be anything but a bishop, apostle, or pastor. That's just not for women. And I had already experienced a lot of that, not by my bishop, not by the pastor that I was under, but it had been there, and I had heard it, even as a preacher, a woman that's a preacher, I had heard it. And so I didn't want to go through that, and I was trying to save myself from that pain, from that hurt. And so when God said, he said, now, to deal with your fear and to deal with your issue, I need you to go and study women pastors in the Bible. And I was like, are there women pastors in the Bible? And so if you want that study, I can give that to you, but we're not going to go into that right now because that's another study. Maybe I'll put it on the air a little bit later and do a series on that a little bit later. But right now we're talking about the fivefold ministry, whether you are male or female. Okay? And so You're not supposed to fault find and criticize and things of that nature, but there will be a natural progression as you mature in Christ. He will begin to lead you in the area that he wants for you, that he's already spoken and decreed over your life, okay? And this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. So take a look around you, just how God showed me. He was like, Lindisha, you don't even see the natural progression of, and it even started when I was 14 because I was over the choir. I was always leading other people. I was always, you know, concerned about their spiritual welfare and all of these things. Every position I had, there were always people up under me that I had to be spiritually accountable for, not accountable to my pastor, but accountable to God. And whatever God told me to do with those people, I had to make sure that I was doing it with those people. So he always had me in a quote-unquote pastoring position. And so there is a progression. And so if you look at your life, you should be able to see that progression into the ministry that you want. And then what people want to know when they ask you, how do you know that you were called into ministry? What they are really looking for is that affirmation, that confirmation that comes after the progression, okay? And it does not happen overnight, but in time you will find yourselves, we find ourselves inclined and passionate in the certain areas of ministry that we will gravitate towards. I don't dismiss the fact that individuals may have some kind of revelatory event that designates their direction in ministry. Like I said, at 14, God did speak to me. So I had the natural progression in my spiritual walk, but I also had that revelatory event that happened to me when God spoke to me, and I knew this is it, okay? Because I just said God told me, and I ran from it, okay? But I think that this sets a questionable precedent when expected as the guide, because I think that most people and some people that are not even called, and let's talk about that a little bit, some people that are not even called will say God told them. And I know me for a fact, and I know a few others that have operated this way, and I believe I do this because of the church I was raised in. Like I said, Sister Marilyn, when you say God said, there's no arguing with that. I'm not going to go and argue with that because you said God said, and who am I to say God didn't say? All I can say is God didn't tell me. You know what I'm saying? But again, if God told you, I'm not going to be the one because maybe I didn't eat my Wheaties that morning and I didn't hear God when he spoke, I'm not going to be the one to say you're not telling the truth. So if you say God said it, you kind of tie the hands of your ministry, your spiritual mentor, and they have to kind of let you go with it. And so I think that when we let that be the all get all, you know, when we let that be the final say, you have a lot of people that say God said and God didn't say. And if God reveals it to me, absolutely going to step up and say, no, God did not say it. And sometimes people don't want to hear that because they, you know, when you, and you know, I wish that I had a someone that was that operated, you know, that flowed in the prophetic. I dibble and dabble. But I know that, you know, a prophetic person has to be careful because there's a lot of voices talking to them, and sometimes a familiar spirit will tell a prophet because they know what you are desiring, and they'll tell that prophet, and sometimes that prophet can say what they hear, thinking that they're hearing God's voice and they're speaking something else, and so they align themselves with you, but it's not still not necessarily something that God said. And like I said, I'm not explaining that absolutely correctly, but I hope you're understanding my heart and understanding the gist of it. Because there are familiar spirits, and so you have to be careful when people are prophesying to you. Case in point, it's biblical. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah was saying God was going to punish him, and they were going to go into being defeated and into slavery. And the other prophets were saying, no, they're going to be victorious. What happened? is what Jeremiah said. They went into slavery, but God said, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have concerning you, so there is an expected end. You're not going to always be this way. But they did go into slavery. They did. They were defeated. And so sometimes what you know, somebody might be telling you the truth. There may be a Jeremiah in your life, but the Hananiahs and all the others are saying what you want to hear. That's why it says that the people have itchy ears, only hearing what they want to hear. And so when you say something that they don't want to hear, they dismiss it as that's not God. And it is God speaking. Because it's not the popular thing, it's because it's not what everybody else is saying, they want to dismiss yours because what everybody else is saying is what they really want and what they really desire. So you have to be careful on that. I believe this relies on the overuse and abuse of Proverbs 29:18, as I wrote, you need to look and understand that's what I'm talking about there. So, and I refer to Jeremiah, and so you need to read Proverbs 29:8 and understand that there is a desire, your desires, let me put it this way, because I wrote it a different way and I want to say it another way as the Spirit leads me. Your desires can lead to visions and specific things we should be doing in Christian ministry, but I am not convinced that it is the predominant way one is called into ministry, but may give us a guide to what God has and wants us to do. And so if you're being prayerful, if you are being mindful, if you're being in the Word of God and, you know, and you're saying, God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, then God will lead you and he will show you, but you have to be open to it. You have to be open to it. By this point, I can hear, you know, I can hear the protests of people. Well, God spoke to me and I wasn't doing nothing. And I'm not saying this is how it is. What I'm saying is in my experience, in my study, I'm seeing that there's two ways of somebody getting to full ministry place. There's the revelatory and then there's the progression. And I think they work hand in hand together. There is a progression that you must go through, whether it's revelatory or not, whether God reveals it to you or not. There's still a progression. There's still a process that you have to go through because there has to be a change in how you do things, not who you are, but how you do things, because God called you as you are. He was looking for you as you are. So he's not trying to change your personality or change anything about you. He created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. However, there has to be a shift. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There has to be a shift. That's the progression and the progression into maturity, okay? Let me give you some more scriptures here, and I'm going to skip down a little bit because I don't want to run out of time. Ephesians 3, 1 through 7, Colossians 1, 25 through 27, you can read that. I believe the application for us to consider that God sets in motion what he wishes to accomplish in us. In the case of these individuals, God chose them to bear witness of his progression, his progressive revelation, and that was culminated in Christ. And so what you see when you look at Christ, you see him being born, you see him talking to the lawyers when he was 12 years old and them being confounded and dumbfounded by this little boy that's able to hold a adult conversation. And then you go in and then you see him being baptized. He's 30 years old and he begins his ministry of 3 years. And the disciples got to see that culmination and got to see that development of his ministry, even to the cross. And so what we have to understand is Jesus is always our example. And if you have any questions, that's why I believe he came. He came as an example to us, so we can see not just how to live our Christian lives, but even how to operate in ministry. Okay? Some may insist that the role of pastor, overseer, shepherd requires a special call. And I believe that there are certain personality types, and I said that earlier, that God looks for, because like attracts like. But I don't believe that that's necessarily so. I don't believe that there's a special DNA. I don't believe there's a special body type. I don't believe there's a special background, a special, you know, woo, mystical thing that makes you into a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, a prophetess. I don't believe that. I believe that God calls ordinary people. He calls ordinary people to do extraordinary deeds, okay? It is a question of gifts. Maturity and the capacity to fulfill the pastoral obligations as outlined in 1 Timothy 3:2-7 and Titus 1:6-9. Paul tells Timothy, if anyone desires to have these offices, here is the criteria. These are the things that you need to look for, and they need to be displayed, which is totally in line with what I said about being mature in Christ. It doesn't matter your age. There's a maturity level that needs to happen. Some things can be learned. Some things can be taught. Other things, you need to already have them instilled in you. And so I believe that that's why the progression comes, so those things can be instilled in you. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:1 is the criteria that he gives. Not if anyone feels they've been called here too, I believe, is an instance where the process of Christian maturity should identify those who have the desire and capacity. That doesn't dismiss that God may have intended for them to fulfill that specific role, but it is not so much driven by some special call as it is a walking out of their Christian faith. Not everyone will have the capacity or the desire. I thought I didn't have the capacity, and the desire was there, but it wasn't there. It wasn't driving enough to make me actually do it. God had to step in and say, okay, girl, you've gone through some stuff. You've accomplished you've completed this course. Now I need you to get on this course. And it means elevation into what I've called you, elevation into what I desire for you, okay? And so, moreover, those individuals who lead should be affirmed by others regarding their capacity to fulfill the criteria identified in the scripture, and thus comes in ordination. People will say things like, well, you know, ordination is not, you know, biblical, this, that, and the other, but ordination is biblical. When they, in the Old Testament, they did ordain the priests. They did pour oil on them and dedicate them unto God. They set them apart, and they made them, you know, they had to now fulfill the job that they were assigned to by God. And God did the selection. And so you have to understand that there is a God element in all of this. There is a revelation in all of this. But the people around you should see that you qualify. They should see that you have what it takes, whether it's displayed openly or there's just that aura about you that, you know, Linda can be. If she get her act right, she could be. There needs to be that affirmation. Just like with the prophets, God says he raises a prophet among you, and when he raises up the prophet, the people say it's the prophet, not the prophet. And so we have to understand that there has to be affirmation, there has to be affirmation, and there has to be confirmation by the people around you. They have to see that you do live up to the criteria that God has set in his word. If you believe that the Bible is the word of God, you believe that it is inspired and breathed on these men and women who wrote the Bible, then you must understand that that criteria comes from him, okay? It's not Paul thinking of let me write a job description for the pastor, the bishop, and the deacon. No, it is God's word. That's why it's written in God's word, okay? Let's not dismiss what we're talking about when we say the Bible. So here's where the idea of calling as a revelatory event can lead to danger. Though though not in all cases, how many congregations are led by pastors who felt called to be pastor and may be able to preach, exhort, but do not possess the qualifications outlined in Scripture. And so when you don't possess the qualifications outlined in Scripture, I think it leads you to being able to throw in the towel, give up, and not do what you are supposed to do and not feel held accountable to that. So there has to be there has to be that criteria in place. There has to be the checkpoint in place for the pastor, because, again, you don't want a pastor that is going to mislead the people. Like Paul said, again, I go back to that, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. A mature saint will follow Christ. An immature saint will follow whatever doctrine they feel is necessary to follow at the given time to get them to where they think they ought to be, okay? So we need to follow them as they follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Rather, they are affirmed because of self-proclamation, a self-proclaimed call, and have the capacity to rally people to their cause rather than carrying out of the carrying out of the pastoral obligation according to the Scripture. In the case of poor teaching and theology, the congregation may not have any idea that the person should not be leading them, but relies on their persona and their charismatic ability instead. And we all know people that have that, and again, not judging anyone. I'm not calling out names. I'm just giving you what I've, you know, in my study going through this, what I've learned and doing this study to help myself. And hopefully it's helping somebody else. Amen. Okay. And so I shudder to think how many congregations are led and hurt by such individuals. While this notion of call might not jive with the popular understanding. Let me put it this way, because I understand what I was trying to say, but when I read it, it didn't come out across the way I wanted. What I'm teaching may not jive with everyone. What I'm teaching may go against what someone else has taught. However, I believe, you know, and I gave scriptures, so if you need those scriptures, you can definitely email me at PastorLindaHillman@hotmail.com or look me up on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorLindaHillman and the number 2. And I will give you that information because, again, when I do a study, I do it based on the Word of God, and I ask God to give me an understanding of what it is that I'm reading, because sometimes it does go against what I'm taught or what I have been taught. But I believe that when in all thy getting, we should get an understanding. And so there has to be different schools of thought that we will listen to find out what the truth is. Someone told me that the truth has 3 parts, your part, my part, and then the real truth, and so, or everything in the middle. And so when you're looking at it that way, you know, one person may come from one side and another person will come from another side. But when you put it together, somewhere in the middle, you find the truth, okay? And so that's what you have to do. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to seek God's face. You have to ask the question like I did, God, what is real ministry to you? What does real ministry look like to you? And God will always take you to his written word, his logo, okay? I am convicted by scripture that the call to ministry is not so much a call, but a walk. We step into ministry that is affirmed by our spiritual gifts, abilities, desires, and identification by others. This, I believe, bears much more fruit than relying on a call. So what you need to understand is that I'm not saying people are not called to ministry. I understand that they are called, but I believe that when there is a revelation of a call to the individual, then there is also a confirming revelation to those around that individual. I also believe that if you haven't gone through the progression of building your faith and understanding who God is and understanding His Word, understanding the character of God, and growing up a little bit. If you're still fighting over baptism, if you're still fighting over whether holiness is what you wear or who your lifestyle, if those are your kind of fights and your kind of debates and where you're spending most of your time, then something is, you know, there's a retardation there. There's a remedial mindset there. And so you have to get yourself into the place where you can get past that, where you are willing to grow, where you're willing to study out the word and to see and to ask those questions. Just like I said, God, you know, I use the word anointing all the time, but show me what anointing means to you. I use the word anointed all the time, but show me what anointed means to you. It's not that I didn't know it, and it's not that God told me anything different than what I already knew, but He gave me some clarity. He gave me some specific things to look at in His Word that gave me a new way of thinking. And again, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I'm not saying that I have the mind of Christ, but the Bible does say, let this mind be in you. What mind is it talking about? The mind of Christ. And so that's what we are to aspire to. We are to aspire to having the mind of Christ and understands the way He does. Because at the end, He's the only one that can put us in heaven or hell. He's the only one that can bless and anoint and appoint our ministry and our purpose as fivefold ministers, as the fivefold ministry to edify and encourage and to build up the body of Christ, because that's what we're given. We are His gift to the church. And, you know, and I say this all the time, you know, sometimes you get a gift that you don't want and you take it back to the store. You exchange it for something you do want. And so I don't want to be the gift that God gives and then somebody takes me back and says, God, I want something different. I want to be the gift to edify the church. I want to be a gift to edify the body of Christ, to encourage and empower, enlighten, and do all the things that I'm supposed to do, and to be able to rebuke and to reprove and to encourage and all of that, because that's what I'm called to do as a pastor. That's what the calling on my life is. And I keep using that word because that's the word everyone uses and that's the word everyone is comfortable with. But right now I'm thinking, you know what, God, I think I like the walk as opposed to the call. It's not a call, it's a walk. It's who I am. It's who God decreed and declared that I am. It's my lifestyle. Pastor is no longer my title, it's who I am. Evangelist is no longer my title, it's who I am. Prophetess is no longer a title, it's who I am. Apostle, bishop, deacon, missionary, that's who I am. It's not my title. It takes the place of Linda. It takes the place of when you call me, you no longer call me Linda, you call me Pastor. Why? Because that's who I am. It's my walk. And see, so many people talk about titles, and I don't need a title, and but you need to know who you are. You know, the CEO, it's a title, but that's who he is. He is the CEO. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to know who we are, and we have to take ownership and responsibility for who God says that we are, and we need to walk accordingly. That's why the Word of God says walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy. When you walk worthy, that means you are living it. You are living, breathing, and doing what God needs you to do. And when you're doing that, then you're living worthy of your calling. Then that calling, that thing that we call a calling, it becomes who we are. It becomes, you know, I won't taint it because it's who I am. If I taint it, I'm tainting myself. I don't know anyone that wants to drag their name through the mud. Nobody, I don't see anybody getting up and standing up and say, oh, you know, my name is Linda, and I'm this, and I'm that, and they don't do that. They mostly try to hide their flaws. They don't openly announce their flaws. And so I think that when we get that mindset, when we understand that, I don't want to do anything that would taint my witness. I don't want to do anything that would taint who God says that I am, because that's who I am. I am a pastor. I am pastor. I am evangelist. I am prophetess. I am apostle. I am missionary. I am deacon. I am mother. I am, I am, I am. that, and even let me even go and let me end with this. Even God said to Moses, I am that I am. He didn't say I will be. He didn't say I want to be. He said I am that I am. So whatever we think about who God is, he is that. Whatever we think about who we are that. If we think we are a pastor, then let's walk worthy of being called pastor, because that's what they're going to call you, pastor. If you if you are a prophet, a teacher, an apostle, a bishop, a missionary, then walk worthy of that, because that's who they're going to call you. It's no longer a title. It's who you are. It's who you are. You be blessed. Be encouraged. Hopefully this helps somebody. Again, if you need to ask questions or you have a topic that you want me to include in this series, then go ahead and email me at Pastor Linda Hillman. That's L-I-N-D-A. H-I-L-L-M-A-N at hotmail.com. You can email me there, or you can link up with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Pastor Linda, the number 2. And also follow me on Twitter at Linda Hillman. And I'm also doing Periscope now. So I believe if you follow me on Twitter, you follow me on Periscope too. But if you're on Periscope, look me up, and I believe that is also at Linda Hillman. And so, you know, I'm on LinkedIn and all of that. I don't use LinkedIn as much. I'm trying to get better, people. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better with LinkedIn. But I am on, you know, you can mostly, if you go, I hate to be sound cliche, but if you Google me, you'll find me. And you can definitely connect with me. And I just want to thank and acknowledge those, I guess, that listened, have been listening and heard me give out my places that you can connect with me, because I have been getting some likes on my pages and some new, you know, people connecting with me on those pages. And I really do. I am humbled and appreciated, and you know, God is going to be doing some wonderful things. And please go out and like Whole Ministries. It's W-H-O-L-E, Whole Ministries, and Living Above Hurt Ministries, and New Life. On Facebook, it's New Life International Ministries. That's what it is on Facebook. The church is New Life Ministries International, but on Facebook somehow I think I typed in International Before Ministries. I don't know, but it's New Life International Ministries on Facebook. Like those so you can know what we're doing, especially if you're in the city of San Francisco and you are looking for a church home. We are getting ready to start having our weekly Bible studies. We're looking for a location. Once we solidify the location, I will make sure that you get that information, and it will be posted on Facebook. And if you are out, you know, and can't get to San Francisco for one of our Bible studies, we do have a conference call line that we will open up and allow you to listen in and participate and ask questions. So, again, I just really am I'm humbled by what God is doing in my life for the ministry, and it's only going to get better from here, because you know what? God is for me, and he is for the ministry, and I'm doing it the way he wants me to do it and not the way I want to do it. And so, again, just want to thank each and every one of you. I'm humbled by you all. Make sure that you let your friends know if they are in ministry. Let them know that this series is going on every Friday at 3 p.m. for a half an hour. We are thinking about paying the monthly fee with Blog Talk Radio so we can make it an hour. But right now it is a half an hour, and I try to, if I get cut off, I will come back as long as they allow me to come back and complete it. And Next week, we have a special guest that will be with us at the noon hour, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday. He's going to be teaching on faith, and I know on Monday I'm going to take a little bit of his time to finish up about the woman with the issue of blood, because one of the shows got cut off, and I never finished that thought. So I will finish that thought. I have to go back and listen and see where I left off so I can finish it, so I can get that information to you. And I hope that you guys are being blessed by this. I know it's been a blessing for me to do this study and to bring it to you. And so I just hope that, you know, the Lunch with Pastor Linda and this series is encouraging you and empowering you to be all that God created you and called you to be. You be blessed, be encouraged. Remember, dare to be who God said you are. Don't worry about what the naysayers, worry about what God says, because he's the one that will judge you in the end. God bless you.